We're following the Hurricane Irene as it begins to come ashore. Expected tomorrow, the damaging winds will move up the East Coast and affecting anywhere from 65 million to 80 million people in the United States. So joining us, we've got three more voices this morning as part of our continuing coverage of this story. Mark Willis is from the National Weather Service. Mark, where are you this morning?
I'm in Bohemia, New York, at the National Weather Service Eastern Region Headquarters.
And looking at New York, are they really predicting, and I guess I'm, you know, sounding like a local here, you know, 85-mile-an-hour winds in New York City on Saturday night?
Well, the probability for tropical storm force winds is fairly high at this point. It's anywhere in the 60 to 80% chance range that New York City and Long Island and the surrounding Connecticut and much of the surrounding area will receive tropical storm force winds. The probability for hurricane force winds is real, but it is a little bit lower than the probability of tropical storm force winds.
Give us a sense of the update of the storm's modeled path at this point right now.
Sure. Well, Irene weakened a little bit overnight, but not significantly. As of the 5 a.m. advisory from the National Hurricane Center, Irene was about 400 miles south-southwest of Cape Hatteras. Maximum sustained winds are now around 110 miles per hour, which is slightly weaker than it was at 11 p.m., but not a whole lot. Still a strong Category 2 storm on the Saffir-Simpson scale. We are looking at some potential re-intensification later today as it moves over warmer waters off the southeast United States coast. And Irene is expected to be near major Category 3 status when it makes landfall in North Carolina on Saturday. And then we could see some weakening, a little bit of weakening after that, but it's still expected to be a hurricane as it moves up the Mid-Atlantic coast and into New York and southern New England through the weekend.
Mark, if I'm standing on the beach in, say, Cape May, New Jersey, how am I feeling about now?
Well, I heard that Cape May ordered a mandatory evacuation, so I would probably suggest that they listen to their local authorities and evacuate. But
what about Hampton, Virginia?
I haven't heard any news from Hampton yet. I know Virginia Beach has evacuated a couple of locations, specifically Sandbridge, and I think Norfolk may have evacuated some of their low-lying areas as well. But Hampton, it looks like they've got a better chance for tropical storm force winds and hurricane force winds Saturday afternoon through Saturday night into early Sunday. And then another concern about Hampton is storm surge. Some of the portions of the lower Chesapeake could get a significant storm surge from this event with some inundation of especially the low-lying areas.
That's Mark Willis of the National Weather Service at the Eastern Regional Headquarters in New York. Kanda Giles in Hampton, Virginia, a bartender at the Water's Edge Bar and Grill. Did Mark get your attentions there at all?
Well, it's good to hear that it may be more of tropical storm winds instead of hurricane winds, but the storm surge, I definitely already knew about that. We're all on the water here, so.
So, yeah, well, water's edge, I get it. Are you planning to move?
Me personally, we're heading up to Richmond this afternoon as soon as my husband gets off work.
And what preparations are being made in your community?
We've already seen a couple houses that are boarding up windows, people buying sandbags just to try and stop the water from rising. A lot of the locals, it's kind of 50-50. Some of them are saying they're getting out of there. They're taking their vehicles. They're parking in the Newport News at friends' houses, and then they're leaving. And then the other half are saying, you know, give hell or high water. They're not going anywhere.
That's that old coastal hurricane macho that can be... can be fun, but also fatal. It's Kanda Giles. Kanda Giles is a bartender at the Water's Edge Bar and Grill in Hampton, Virginia, getting ready to move out when her husband gets off work. Leanne Kilareski is the owner of Seaweeds by the Sea Boutique in Cape May, New Jersey. Mark Willis was just talking about your area there, your neighborhood, Leanne. You got any breakables in your store that are going to get shaken up?
Oh, yeah. When you're going to have winds that could be up to 100 miles an hour, anything can break and blow away. And we've really prepared the best we can, being through this before in Florida. We know that even though today I am looking at a beautiful sunshine and calm, still morning, 24 hours from now, it could be very deadly for anybody that's left here. The wind, first of all, can just blow you away or your house away or garbage cans or cars. It's just amazing how strong it can be. All of our deck furniture we've either put in house or roped down what we could. everything that would be blowable, pots, anything that, even bird feeders. I took all my bird feeders down. Anything that could blow and break somebody's window, glass, we've taken in. It's the floods are very bad. This is going to be one of the worst, they said, in decades here. And we're right by the water as well in Cape May. So, you know, after the winds and then you get the floods in the back bays, the inland waters that might be, you know, 6-10
sure.
miles from here.
Well, Leanne, when do you pull out?
As soon as I'm finished with you, I am out of here. My car is packed. I have my granddaughter. My husband has to go take our larger boat by water down to the C&D Canal, the Chesapeake Bay, so it's safe there, hopefully. And I will be on the road, I'm sure, with many.
Well, we're not going to hold you up. Leanne, you hit the road, all right? Get
okay.
going. You take care. Leanne Kilareski, owner of Seaweeds by the Sea Boutique in Cape May, New Jersey, where they're expecting serious storm surge and serious winds there. Mark Willis of the National Weather Service, before we go, talk about the storm surge and some of the risks inland, because this storm is going to be felt in inland Maine, inland Massachusetts, inland New York.
Yeah, you know, before I get to that, I wanted to point out to our friends in Hampton that even though the chances of hurricane-force winds are lower than tropical storm-force winds, there's still a very real threat for hurricane-force winds there.
Hold on, Mark. Get candid. Did you hear that?
I did. Of course.
All right. So, you know, just bear that in mind. Go ahead, Mark.
As far as some of the other threats, there's really three main threats to this. One is obviously the wind, and this is a very large storm. And as I mentioned before, tropical storm force winds extend well away from the center, so even spots well inland could see tropical storm force winds. Another threat is torrential rainfall. We're looking at potential 6 to 10 inches of rain with this storm, with isolated higher amounts than that, and that could lead to widespread inland flooding problems. In addition, finally to that, storm surge, as I mentioned before, is another big concern that we have. And obviously, the main storm surge threat locations right now are around the Outer Banks, North Carolina, some
right.
spots in southeast Virginia, and moving right up the coast.
But, all right, Mark, thanks so much. Mark Willis at the Eastern Regional Center of the National Weather Service. Leanne Kilareski is already on the road. Candid Giles, get moving. Bartender at Water's Edge Bar and Grill in Hampton, Virginia. Thanks so much.
They're gonna fall.
And at 15 minutes after the hour, let's check in on some stories we're following. Abuja, the Nigerian capital, a bomb blast at the United Nations offices has left a wing of the building flattened. We spoke with Umadine Uy, a reporter for the Nigerian news channel NN24, just a little while ago.
Information we are getting is that the those who caused the blast threw their car right into the gate and went into the ground floor of the building.
Car bomb that the journalist is suggesting, and Reuters is now reporting that 10 people are dead. The building houses about 400 UN employees, and there are reports that people are still trapped in the building. The son of Salman Taseer, the assassinated governor of Pakistan's Punjab province, has been kidnapped. Four men captured Shahbaz Taseer in an upscale neighborhood in the city of Lahore this morning. In January, his father was assassinated by his own bodyguard for opposing a controversial blasphemy law. The United Nations has agreed to release $1.5 billion in Libyan assets after the U.S. and South Africa reached an agreement over unfreezing those funds. Lynn Pascoe, Undersecretary General for Political Affairs, says the National Transitional Council has made it clear it wants the United Nations to play a strong role in the post-conflict period.
I think all of you know that a hallmark of the Gaddafi regime was the essential absence of institutions as he pulled all strings through him. And so building these are going to be a process that takes some time.
Step one, moving that base from Benghazi to Tripoli. The National Transitional Council is doing that today. J.P. Morgan Chase has agreed to lay a penalty of more than $88 million to the Treasury Department, for a series of illegal transactions involving Cuba, Iran, and Sudan. You're listening to The Takeaway throughout the morning. Be a part of our Irene coverage. Use the Takeaway iPhone app, available at thetakeaway.org, to send us your pictures.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.